25, verse 8. And then we'll go to Luke chapter 12. So Psalm 85, verse 8. From last Wednesday, I sense that people need peace. Say peace. Hey, are you here or you've gone home? I feel that a lot of people are under a lot of weight, a lot of stress, frustration. They can't seem to shift it. They can't seem to get it off. And people are burdened. Financial chaos, relational chaos, health issues, stressful jobs. And it's putting weight on people. And people are stressed. You know, at times you get tired. And then there are those of you also where the enemy come and tax you every so often. You know how the devil taxes people? You know there's tax. How many of you pay tax? Immediately you get paid. The tax man is there. And then he takes. Do you know that Satan also taxes people? And at times you, there may be 1 or 2 years, you find out that ever so often the devil comes and taxes you. Somebody say, how does it not, it may not be your money. It may be your relationship. You find out that periodically something will happen in your life. It's like a cycle. It's a tax. The tax man has come. The mortgage man has come to for you to pay. And I'll tell you how these things are very real. I'll give you one example in the Bible. The Bible says that before Israel entered into their promised land, there were certain people called the Gibeonites. Because God had told Israel to destroy everybody, kill everybody, and they take the land. These people knew that they couldn't fight Israel. So they schemed and maneuvered and made a deal with Joshua without Joshua's knowledge. And Joshua signed a covenant with them. Later, when Joshua found out, when covenants are made, you cannot what? Break them. So God said, you've done a foolish thing. You should have asked me before. Because everybody turn your phone off before that happens again. Amen. Ask your neighbor, turn your phone off. Amen. Not just your school. Tell your neighbor, turn your phone off. I don't want any sound lines. I'm teaching on preaching. Okay. So anyway, they tricked Joshua to sign an agreement. And God told them, Joshua, you should have sought me first. That is why it is very important to seek God. Because when the devil comes to you, he comes in a disguise. Anyways, and God said, it's too late. You can't change the covenant. So Joshua or Israel was supposed to protect those people. That's why they became slaves to Israel. So when King Saul came on the throne, for some reason, Saul went and destroyed some and killed a lot of them. He killed lots of them. He forgotten that there was what? A covenant. So nothing happened. But during the reign of King David, something happened. All of a sudden, Israel, the taxman, came and started destroying Israel. And then David went to go and said, God, what is happening here? We've not done anything. God said, oh, it's what your predecessor did. Saul kills the Gibeonites. So the tax man, they have every right to come and tax you, to come and destroy you. Some things your forefathers did, your foremothers did. And that's why you have to be very careful what you do. Oh, are you here?
Yes.
Be very careful. Because you do certain things and somebody just pronounces a word. It can affect you and generations to come after you. So God said, yeah, Saul killed the people he's not supposed to kill. He's supposed to protect them rather. He went and killed them because they did something he didn't like. That is why there's a plague killing the Israelites. Then God said, the only way to avert it, you must go and ask the Gibeonites what they want. And then if you do it, then everything will be okay. So he went to the Gibeonite. Saul said, I'm sorry, Saul, my predecessor did what he did. What do you want us to do? so that this plague can stop. You know what they asked for? And what I'm saying now, you should have found that scripture long ago. You know what they asked for? They asked that some of Saul's family members be hanged, be killed. And that will abate what? The curse. By the way, if let's say I steal money from Kwabena, I steal his money, his savings, and then I find out that I'm sorry, I say, Father, forgive me. And Kwabena, forgive me. Will God forgive me? Yes. Oh, are you here?
Yes.
But I have to pay the money back with interest. The interesting thing is that people think just asking for forgiveness is what? Enough. At times you have to do what we call restitution. Look, their spiritual laws, they are amazing. Their spiritual laws, you don't see them, you may not know them, but they work to the T perfectly. Let me give you one more example in the New Testament. Jesus himself. One day Jesus was hungry. So he went to Herod's house to get something to eat. And he saw as if she was cooking. And there was no food. You know, Jesus saw a fig tree. And the fig tree had leaves. When a fig tree has leaves, it's a sign that it must have what? Fruits. There are Christians who appear as Christians, but they have no fruits. So Jesus looked at the tree. Hey, you appear as if I'm hungry and I'm coming to get some food. You made me walk all the way and there's nothing on you. No man eat fruit of thee all the days of your life. Jesus just spoke well. So the following day, when they were passing the same place, the disciples saw that the tree has what? Withered from the root. So that, you know what the disciples said? They did not say, Jesus, what you said. They said, Jesus, the tree you cursed. But we didn't hear the word, Jesus cursed the tree. But he just spoke against the tree. Just nobody eats fruit from you. You know it was a curse. And the curse started working from what? The roots. What I'm saying is that I believe that today God wants to stop the tax man in your life.
Amen.
Something that you did not do. You are not responsible, but somebody did. But it's affecting you today. God wants to speak peace to you.
Amen.
But the reason why I gave you Saul's and David's story is this. When God speaks peace to you, make sure you do not go back again to foolishness. But when the Bible says foolishness, it's not the way we understand it. Let me read this. Go to Luke chapter 12, and I'll show you how Jesus defines foolishness. Because usually our understanding of foolishness is in the English terms. It's not necessarily so. Luke chapter 12, and then let's read maybe from the man who came to Jesus Christ and asked Jesus that he should divide. He said, do you have New Living Translation? Yeah, use that one. There was one day, Jesus was minding his own business. You know, at times as a pastor, you know, you are minding your own business. Then some church members will come and say, look, there's an issue. Can you please settle the inheritance? What have I got to do with your family? So he came to Jesus. Jesus, my brother, my parents are there. My brother wants to take all the money. Can you please settle the issue to tell my brother to give me my portion? Then some man called from the crowd, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, say beware.
Beware.
You know, one of the things I've learned in life, when Jesus speaks, Jesus' words is supreme. You have to really take it. He says, beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Guard against every kind of greed. You know, there are all kinds of greed, not just all kinds. Life is not measured by how much you own. Do you know that the world judges things like that? Look, the whole world, everything is judged purely upon what you what own. True or not true? Please, are you here or you are?
We are here.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
You are not behaving as if you are with me here. Huh? The anointing is, if you don't behave like that, you won't get breakthrough.
Amen.
I've told you always, your actions and your way determine. Don't let any demon sit upon your head. Because at times you go with your emotion, what you don't realize is that a demon is trying to stop your breakthrough. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Let me just tell you before I carry on with this. What you don't confront has a right to stay in your life. I will write it down. What? So if you are sitting here, you feel dull and you like it, so shall the dullness rule you. At times people think it's nothing. What you don't confront in life has a legal right to remain. What you don't like in your life, in your marriage, in your finance, in your health, what you don't like, if you don't confront it, that thing has every legal right to keep on sitting there. That's what the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand. Resist the devil. The devil is resistible. The devil too can get tired. I'm telling you, he can get tired. If any time you keep on resisting, you say, no, I'm tired now. Me too, let me go find some. Yes. But if you don't confront the thing, that's why you have, look, there are certain things you have to be wild. You have to be very wild against them. Somebody is harassing you all the time and you are just letting it go on and on and on. You don't like it, but for some reason you keep on permitting it. That thing has a right to stay. That's why you keep on finding patterns in nations, in people's lives, in families. Because nobody is rising up to confront it. If David had not confronted that issue, that Saul did, Israel would have been wiped out. The curse would have worked. So for your own information, what you don't confront, Sister Jessie has a right to remain. If you don't like the witches harassing you, confront them. You have power to destroy every witch that try to come your way. So let's carry on with my story. So Jesus, I'm talking to you today. Is that okay?
Yes.
You will have peace. We will pray.
Amen.
Very soon.
Amen.
You will have peace. I saw somebody, yes, carrying a load, a heavy load. The person can't put the load down. Everywhere. And for some, they don't have the power to set down the load. Have you been to here? You don't see people carrying things on their head. Go to Africa. You see people carrying massive things. Eh? How many of you have been to Africa before? Maybe I have to take you to the market. Then you see people. Do they still carry things? Nowadays, when I go, aha. Then they are sweating. And the thing is, but the person cannot put the thing down. Today, that load, the Holy Ghost will take it off you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will take it off you.
Amen.
Let's carry on. So, then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm. Let's go very fast, because this is not fast. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. Store all my wheat and other goods. Yes. And I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, I don't know if you have known that when you gets and somebody 150 million what euros yesterday or so, you know. So you can say, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. You and your family, now take it easy. When things are flowing, take it easy. After all, you've gotten a breakthrough. Things are wonderful. Go on. Why is this thing so slow? Huh? Eat, drink, and be merry. Yes. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very, you what? Fool. You see, what God considers a fool is different from the, is there anything wrong in your business flourishing and your bank account overflowing? Is there anything? No. There's nothing wrong with that. How many of you want your bank accounts to overflow? Okay, those who did not say amen, so shall it be unto you. I mean, I said a bigger amen. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. There's nothing wrong. It's good. But Jesus said, you are a fool. Why? He's going to tell us why this man was a fool. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? You are going to die today. And with all the things you got, all the millions you've earned, all the beauty with you, who is going to enjoy it? Next verse. Yes, a person is a fool who stores up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. The reason why Jesus called him a fool was not because he had money, because he was poor in relationship with God. It means that the thing that you should pursue more than anything is your relationship with God. Then Jesus, turning to his disciples, said, "This is why I tell you," I'll come to that, "do not worry about everyday life." I come to that when I'm about to speak about peace. That's why Jesus, don't worry. Be happy. There's a song I'm on that I don't know about that. Somebody said, "I'm blessed." You know, I'm blessed. It's called "I'm blessed." You know, the fact that you have Jesus, Tina, you are blessed. Your bank account may be empty, but you are blessed. But you see, Jesus is not enough for us. So we always have got long faces. We are sad. We are not happy because you don't have money. That is, but you don't know that you're a very rich person. God must open our eyes, man. So every time you think you don't have, compare yourself to this rich man. There's nothing wrong by being rich. Before I say what I'm going to say, I'm saying amen for myself. Amen. I'm going to be a rich man. So shall you be. Yes. Amen. I'm already a rich man. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to be rich. There's nothing wrong at all. But I must make sure that my richness towards God is supreme. Because I don't want to be called a fool. Everything you are going to live here on this earth, you know that everything, physical to material, and you are not taking, Sister Grace, you are not taking anything anywhere. You're going to leave all of them here. So you better make sure you are rich towards God. Hallelujah. Or you get towards the gates of heaven, they say, "We don't know you here. Your name is not written here." Then the thing that you left, people are fighting over it and chopping it. If you are not giving me, they will sell it. The thing it took you 40 years to get, they will sell it in 2 months. You'll be turning in your grave like that. This is a real, you better believe it. So, God wants to give peace to his people. There's a lot of weight. At times you get tired. I was telling the guys on Wednesday, you know, even every 31st night, people are getting up for 31st night. I don't know why people do that, you see. And then the pastors will come. It's a year of breakthrough, a year of flying, a year of unprecedented manifestations, the year of glory, the year of whatever, whatever. How many have heard that before? And year after year, your life is still the same. At times you get tired of all those things. Are you here? You get tired of crossover night, manifestation 2020. It's my year. You've been saying that for 10 years. And still, so after some time, you get what? Tired. I'm tired of all these slogans. I'm tired of all these things. You become even very skeptical when they say it, 31st night. Hey, my brother, my sister, it's going to be a year. What are some of the things they say? The year of the eagle. From chicken to eagle. The year of, then you say, "Leave me alone. I'm not going anywhere. I've heard enough of those things." You see, you are becoming skeptical now. You miss. You are tired in your soul. You are tired in your mind. You are tired. You get tired. Yes, I've had enough. I've heard prophecy after prophecy after prophecy and no manifestation. I don't want to hear any prophecy again. When the guy said, "The Lord have said, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired." Because how many of you at times feel like that? I know people are feeling like that. The Spirit of God just told me from Tuesday, Wednesday. Tired. This enemy you see this year, you will see them no more. Give the scripture there. Exodus 14. Put it there. That's how some people feel. Some people too are tired of their relationships. They are tired in their own family. They are tired. The hustle in the family. "I'm tired of this family. Why was I born in this family at all?" You don't want to say, but it's in your mind. "Wish you were born by Bill Gates." People get tired. Your job is stressful. Anytime you're about to go to work, then your stomach begins to churn. People have been getting ulcers. Job is stressful. There is no peace anywhere. You have money, but you can't even eat. Even when you eat, you've lost your appetite. One of the things preachers don't talk about, one of the major things you need in life is peace. 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 Rest of soul. You can enjoy your food. You can enjoy your family. Peace. There may be things all falling all over the house, but there is peace. Amen. There is peace in the midst of the storm. We need peace. Psalm 87. Give me Psalm 87. There will be peace. And verse 8. Psalm 87, verse 8. Psalm 85, verse 8. Okay. We'll be praying soon, don't worry. I want you to pray. God wants to give peace to his people. But I'll teach you what to do to have, to maintain the peace. It says, I will listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying. For he speaks peace to his faithful people. If you read the King James Version, it's even more nicer. I will hear what the Lord shall say to the people, and there shall be what? Peace. But don't let them return to their what? Foolish ways. Today you'll get peace.
Amen.
But don't, you see, when you use the scriptures, take the whole thing. Don't take the part you like, and the part you don't like, you throw it away. But don't return to your what? Foolish ways. You will know. You see, as I'm speaking to you now, you will know what is foolishness to you and what is not foolishness. I don't have to tell. Everybody's one is different. Yeah. God will speak peace. Give me the King James Version one. God will speak peace. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace though the sea be raging. There is peace. I will hear what the Lord will speak. I wait on the Lord. I will hear what he will speak. For he will speak peace. Amen. Unto his people. Amen. And to the saints. I speak the peace of God over you.
Amen.
I speak the storms in your life to be silenced. Amen. Every storm that is harassing your life.
Amen.
Every burden that you are carrying. I declare peace. Be still.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Peace. What the accuser of the brethren is tormenting your thoughts, tormenting your mind. Jesus said, peace I give you. My peace. Not as the world gives. You know, there's a peace that is beyond any material things. How many of you have longed for some material thing? You've gotten it, and after some time, you've gone to square one.
Yeah.
Hello? You wanted a car. You get the car, then it goes. How many of you have been there before? You wanted something. You get the thing. You wanted to eat, what is it again? Some people wanted to eat just sweet corn. You ate the sweet corn. It was happy in your mouth after 2 minutes, or you go home. It's gone. How many of you have wanted that? You were thinking, even right now, some of you are thinking of some food you are going to eat. After you've enjoyed the food, a few minutes, the peace is gone. You can't get the kind, that's why Jesus said, the kind of peace I'm giving to you, no man can give it to you. Hallelujah. Some people say, I shouldn't use this. I'll use it. If you finish, come and talk to me. And we'll discuss this. Should I or shouldn't I? Those of you who are the naysayers. You think you have perfect peace when you marry. You will marry and you discover it is not so. as you can use. I'll use it. Because some people are clamoring and clamoring. I think that will give them peace. If you don't have peace in Christ, how can a man or a woman give you peace? Some of you is rather going to be hell. Not you here, say minus me.
Minus me.
You think that if I have that friend, if I have this money, I will have peace, I will have this situation. Some people think, oh, if I leave the church and go to that church, I will have peace. Try and see. Jesus said, peace is in a person, me. I give what? Peace. And the peace I give is beyond all understanding. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For I have what? Overcome. Today, let all your fears be silenced.
Amen.
If Jesus is in the boat with you, if Jesus is with me, look, I have settled, you have to settle certain things. The weapons you have, there is no power in hell or situation in life that can overpower the power of Christ. There is no force that can resist the power of the blood of Christ. Makatoboria, thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you know what the weapons of God are? Satan is afraid of you, Tina. By the time you are afraid of him, he's very afraid. Look, Satan, demons are afraid of you if you don't know. Look, if God were to cause us all to jump into the realm of the spirit, we see how they are afraid of us. But you see, he lies to us. He pumps thoughts to us. And then when we buy those thoughts, then he have what? Because they are spiritual laws. I told you, they are spiritual laws that just work. Satan is afraid of every child of God. They are. Every demon is afraid of you. I remember a story. Let me tell you one story. There was this man. He used to be, this happened in Nigeria. You know, Nigeria, there's a lot of cults. C-U-L-T-S, cults in Nigeria. Very serious cults. Not the ones in Ghana or powerful ones. This young man belonged to, they are not, it's not a joke. Oh. They can put banana, then you take the banana, you turn to a goat. Then you see something, then you appear somewhere. So this guy, in the university, he belonged to a lot of the cults, lots of them. Then he went to a crusade and got saved. He was even the secretary of one of the major big ones, the cults. So he got saved. So he told the guys, I'm saved. I've left the cults. I'm out of it. He said, huh? You know, we told you. You see, covenants again, eh? When you were joining with your blood, we told you, you cannot resign. You cannot go back. He said, no. I have found Jesus. I'm not coming back. It's okay. We will see. We gave you 7 days. Say, okay. So he lived, you know, in Africa, you know, the university rooms is about 3 to a room or 4 to a room. So there were 3 beds, 1, 2, 3. So he finished studying so late at night. So he was going to his bed. The 2 friends were sleeping. So just when he was, that the 7th day, when he's about to sleep, you know the prayers we pray when we sleep. Father, into your hands I commend myself. I pray in Jesus' name, keep me sleep. Boom. So he prayed that kind of 2x4 prayers. And then somebody told him, no, get up and pray again. Oh, Father, in the name. I said, something, get up. So when he was getting up the third time, see the third time, he saw a huge man come through the door, just walk through the door like that. Huge black thick door. He had no time to pray. You know what he said? Jesus! Hallelujah! Immediately he said that, then the thing just didn't disappear. The thing could not move. It stopped. Then he saw that there's power in the name of Jesus. So he said again, Jesus! When he shouted the first time, one of the friends that was sleeping, I think, the noise did not wake him up, so he rolled. He kind of rose. So his leg was hanging on his bed like that. And when anytime he says, Jesus, like a force, will hit that thing back. Jesus, that. So while the thing was going back, the hand of the thing brushed the leg of one of his friends. Then the thing just disappeared. You know, the following day, that boy's leg had become like elephantiasis for 1 year. I mean, that thing was coming to lay hands on him and just finish him. There is power in the name. What devil can stand the name? You see, when you say something, the devils know whether you believe it or not. Oh. The demons, they know whether you are just saying it or you truly believe it. They know. Makatabaya. Which force, which situation, which circumstance can stand the name of Jesus? For at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Every load, every spirit coming to tax you must bow to the name of Jesus. All authority is in that name. Power is in the name of Jesus. Your burdens must go. But I told you, what you don't confront, what you tolerate, has a right to remain. We need to change things in our lives. That's what's coming. I was thinking, our DNA must change. I'm talking about the negative DNAs in us. If Jesus cannot change that, then what is the point? Because we carry these things and we take it into all places, our relationship, our workplace, and it's creating chaos. There must be a change. We must change from glory to glory. Our peace must increase. One of the signs of Jesus' coming to earth was this. You know, when the angels appeared in Luke and they spoke to the shepherds, you know, one of the things they told the shepherds, or when the angels were singing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to all men. Say, the peace of Christ,
is my portion.
Yes. You must have peace. When you go to work, you must have peace. You put on the preparation of sword with your food, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, treading down serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. There must be peace so we can enjoy our food. We can enjoy our children. We can enjoy relationship. We can enjoy whatever. Peace. There's too much hustle. As if there's a whirlwind all the time. What is that for? And please don't chase material things, because then you will be caught up in that whirlwind. I will show you very soon in the scriptures. Maybe let's go on. We know the Luke 12. Let me just show you from the Luke 12 what Jesus then gave something here, where Jesus taught on prayer. Luke 12 or 11. The disciples asked Jesus Christ, teach us, Lord, how to pray. And then Jesus went on further and explained to them something about prayer that I want to also. These are things, after your peace has come, you need to flow with. Luke, I think, I'm not sure, it's 11 or 12. Let's read from the New Living Translation, where Jesus spoke about the importunate friend. The parable, you got it now. Now it came to pass, as once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Jump all the way, go to after the amen, where the parable is. After Jesus has told them how to pray, he gave a parable. Jump all the way to where Jesus told a parable. Then teaching more about prayer. Say, teaching more about prayer. Listen carefully. These are the words of Christ. He used this story to teach about prayer. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of what?
Bread.
You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived from Colombo for a visit. I have nothing for him to what? Eat. And suppose he calls her from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. You're going to disturb somebody for 3 loaves of bread at midnight. Say, hey, leave me alone. I and my family, we are in bed. I can't what? Help you. But I tell you this. Say, Jesus said, but I tell you this. But I tell you this. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake. If you keep on knocking. If you keep on disturbing him. If you keep on knocking. If you keep on asking. If you keep on praying. He will give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. See, shameless persistence. Jesus in the Bible, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you something more about prayer. If you don't have shameless persistence. Now, this goes for those who are fast, who have been praying, and it appears as if there's no breakthrough. This is the word of the Lord for you.
Amen.
Shameless what? If the guy was not shameless, you know, some people went from people ask things, Harold, please, can you help me do this? And the Harold ignores you. You know that is the end of it. But if you keep on harassing him, say, this pastor John is disturbing me too much. Let me just go and do this and get out of the way. That is how prayer what is. Let me tell you something. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he said, something. You know, at times how God talks, it's not always you see a vision. At times when you are talking to somebody, just conversation, or God will talk to you. So he said something. He was talking about the way he used a word. He said, we have intensified the prayers. Intensity. We want to crush everything. When he said that word intensify came into my soul. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because I was very deep, kind of asleep when he called. I don't want to take this call. So when we finish, I say, Holy Ghost, you are telling me something. He says, yes, intensify. This is not the time to take it easy. Yeah. Intensify. I wrote it down. Intensify. 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 And then I got this scripture. Shameless persistence. God, you must grant me breakthrough. God, it must happen as you have said. Over and over. God, you must destroy everything that is wrong in this church. Every devil in this church must be destroyed. God, you must shatter them. Shameless. Somebody say, why are you always praying like that? Yes, shameless what? Persistence. Because but you've been praying, nothing is happening. No, who told you? Shameless persistence. Because when the thing that tells you, you've been praying to my know for, because fire is in their bomb, they are feeling it. It's just one touch and it will destroy. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on, turn to anybody, say, never. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on praying. Shameless persistence will bring you your breakthrough. You will get your breakthrough.
Amen.
It shall be as the Lord has spoken. There shall be a visitation.
Amen.
You will get your breakthrough.
Amen.
You will fulfill your destiny.
Amen.
You will fulfill your destiny.
Amen.
The devil cannot cut your life short. The devil cannot stop you. No resistance can block your way. The Lord will answer speedily.
Amen.
Shameless persistence. Devil, I will have my peace. Devil, I have my peace. Devil, I will have my peace. Devil, I will have my joy. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, though the store be empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will experience what God said I will experience. God said it. I believe it. But the God who said, say, I should become shameless, persistent. You know, for some people, except you are what? Shameless, persistently pursuing, then you won't get what you want. True or not true? It's not like nowadays. I'll use this one again if you don't like it. So, whatever. Did he chase you? Or did you chase him? Nowadays, it's the woman who chases. Before, it wasn't like that. Did she chase you? Okay. How long did you chase her for? If you like somebody, don't you chase? You chase. You chase. You get a no. You refuse to take no. This is the person I like. This is what I want. Shamelessly. That is how you get breakthrough. That is, I'm telling you, there are certain breakthroughs, eh? Unless you are shamelessly persistent, forget it. Do you know there are levels of demons? So some demons just one small prayer. Some of them, one prayer is not enough. I don't know why. Don't come and ask me why. I don't know how the thing works. But if Jesus Christ himself said, shameless persistent. When Daniel began to pray, he had to pray and fast and pray and fast for 21 days before the visitation came. The first day, the angel said, the first day you prayed, the answer was released. But once I was coming, there was some power that was resisted. Just like the boy who said, Jesus. He didn't say Jesus once. Jesus, the thing stopped. It was there. It's a stalemate. But you have to push that thing away by what? Persistence. What I'm trying to tell you is that don't give up. You must get rid of every force of wickedness from your life, from your home, from your everywhere. You must shatter them. But you have to pray what? Shamelessly. You know what shamelessly means? You know some people don't like asking things. You know, so I don't want to disturb anybody. Carry on like that, you will see, you'll suffer in life. You know, some people have got that pride. Me, I don't ask anybody. If you don't ask anybody for anything, make sure that your walk with God is at the highest level. You are so powerful. So awesome. Even then, you will need somebody. So if I need help, can you come and help me do ABC? I will ask. Some people don't ask and they are suffering. Somebody, you need help. Ask. Not just once. And how many of you have seen me ask, when I'm asking for something, not once, ask Harold. I don't do that. Because I know he's the only one that can help me. Good money. Or you go and pay huge sums of money. If you have the huge sums, then go and pay. But if I know I don't have the money, Harold, I beg you. You say, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow you can say, I can't. Okay, no problem. When can you do it again? You have to be shameless. I'm like that. Shameless. I don't care. What if he's thinking wrong about me? I don't. Just come and sort that thing out for me. Let me have my peace. That's the kind of spirit you should have. If you don't have that same spirit in prayer. Hallelujah. One day, you see all the 31st night slogans. One day, your manifestation will happen. Your breakthrough, your eagle day, the crossover into your Canaan land and all this stuff. I should have gotten plenty of them. I'm telling you the fantastic names. I don't know what you are calling that way. You know, a year of manifestation. Give me some. I mean, yeah, I don't know, those of you like going to those meetings. The year of acceleration. A year of the lion over the sheep. Your day will come, eh? It will be your testimony.
Amen.
It will be your testimony. Eh? Some of you have testimonies, eh? It will shock you yourself.
Amen.
It will shock you. You say, your hour and your season has come. You think God is a man that you should lie? If God said that you are blessed, you are blessed.
Amen.
If God said it, then it is so. I am blessed. It is so. Hallelujah. Quickly, I'll just give you some point that you need to have. Then we'll pray. We'll have communion. Maybe I'll teach it next week because of time. We need to have communion and pray. Is that okay? But I'll give you just one of them. I'm looking for, there are about 5 here. Let me give you one. I'll just give you one, the main one. Make sure that any issue between you and God is resolved. Make sure there's not any outstanding debt or issue between you and God. Whatever issue you have with God, resolve it. I cannot tell you. You know what the issue is. Resolve it. Amen. If whatever God is telling you, do, if God says, go and say sorry, go and say sorry. Don't be stubborn. If God is telling you, give that thing to that person, give it to them. Whatever God is telling you, be at peace with God. You cannot have the peace of God when you are not at peace with God. This is very, very important. So I will leave it there. Bible says there's scriptures for this. We will go through them next week. Christian, be at peace with God. Maybe let me explain it more to you so that you understand what I mean. Go to Job. If you want to have peace, be at peace with God. Job chapter 22, verse 21 and 22. Be at peace with God. Don't not fight God. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord may be telling you, do this, is the right thing to do. But you want to do your own thing. You are not at peace with God. You can't have that peace I'm talking about. Job, submit to God and you will have what? Peace. Submit to God and you will have what? Then things will go well for you. I don't know whether this scripture is enough. Mato, Jesus, wonderful Jesus, yield to him and be at peace. Go to verse 21. Submit to God and you will have peace. I like that. Then things will go well for you. How many of us want things to go well for us? All of us. But we need to submit to God. We want peace. We want Jesus to wake up and say, peace, be still, to still the storms. And we need to submit to him. Right now, just inside of you, hear the voice of this. Whatever God is telling you, that is a blockage to the peace of God in your life. Listen to it now. Listen to that thing now. Whatever God is telling you, obey him. You know, your conscience at times is God speaking to you. Your conscience. Especially something God has been telling you over and over and over and over. Do this. Do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Listen to him. As you are listening to him, make your confessions before we pray for the peace. Make your confessions to God. If it involves another person, go and resolve it with them afterwards. Make it your aim to resolve it with them. Make sure you do it. For you should not say something to God you are not willing to do. You become a fool to God. Whatever God is telling you. Whatever God is telling you. Whatever instruction he gives you, like Mary said, whatever he tells you, do it. And then you will be at peace. And everything will go well for you. Hallelujah. Father, we make peace. We humble ourselves. Yes, Lord. For somebody, God may be telling you, go and submit to your boss. God may be telling you, go and say sorry to your child, to your son or your daughter. God may be telling you, release that thing to that person. Go and apologize. Say sorry to your spouse. Go and confess that sin to that person. Yes, Father, we want your peace. So we want to be submitted to you. Peace. Peace like a river. Let it flow, Lord, as we seek to make peace with you. I want us to stand. Every weight, every frustration, everything that is disturbing your peace, begin to lift that thing to God. Lift it to God. Lift it to God. The thing that has been blocking your way to victory, to you fulfilling your destiny, lift it to God. Because there are certain ways you and I cannot do anything about it. We need divine intervention. We need supernatural assistance. Lift it to God. Hallelujah.